Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. God of wisdom, still our hearts and silence so that we can be fully present to your Word.
Through the power of your Holy Spirit,
let us hear what you have to say to us today.
Give us the courage to listen and respond to your call.
In Jesus' name, Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Listen to God's word. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the power of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier, and practice the seat with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed out and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring the sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. The second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. He had a sister named Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed by only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, let us begin with a word of prayer. Please join with me in the Spirit. O Holy God, may my words this day be your words. May they be planted in our hearts, souls, and minds, that they take root and grow, so that we live into the calling you have placed on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, I begin with a quote I came across online that has been echoing in my heart all week. It's words from a Christian pastor and theologian who practiced what he preached even when it cost him everything. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor during the rise of Nazi Germany, when the church was under tremendous pressure to conform to injustice. Bonhoeffer opposed the tyranny and violence that was caused by the Nazis, and because of that, he was imprisoned and eventually killed. From his prison cell, Bonhoeffer wrote, "The church is the church only when it exists for others, not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell humans of every calling what it means to live in Christ, to exist for others. Bonhoeffer reminds us that at the very heart of a church, the heart of a community of faith, it has to do with what we do with our faith when we gather and worship God. And what we do when we leave this place and act as disciples of Christ out in this world. It is not our callings as Christians to dominate or to accumulate power or status or to even see ourselves above another, because our calling is to help and to serve. The prophet Amos was speaking to a people who had forgotten what it meant to be God's people for others. They were busy with religion, with ritual and routine, but their faith was missing. But before we dive into the unsettling words of the prophet, I think it's worth getting to know Amos a little bit better. Amos isn't someone who would have felt comfortable in the pulpit, let alone in a palace or a temple. He wasn't born into a priestly family. He didn't come from a line of prophets or scholars. Amos tells us himself that he is a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore fig trees. In other words, Amos is a farmer. He lived in the little village of Tekoa down in the southern kingdom of Judah. Yet it was Amos whom God called to speak an uncomfortable truth, and not to his neighbors in Judah, but to the powerful, wealthy northern kingdom of Israel. The people of Israel at this time were doing well, at least on the surface. Their economy was booming, there was peace and there was prosperity. The religious life of the kingdom seemed vibrant, with festivals and sacrifices happening just as they should. But beneath all of this, there was this widening gap between the rich and the poor. The powerful found ways to make themselves even more wealthy, often at the expense of the most vulnerable. It was a society that looked good from the outside, but was beginning to rot from within. And that's the kingdom that Amos was called to prophesy to, even though he was an outsider in every sense. Our passage for today begins with Amos's vision from God. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. Now, the first part of this sounds pleasant enough. We might imagine something fresh and sweet, the kind of gift that you would give to a neighbor or a friend. Who doesn't love a fruit basket? But in the language, Marshall back there, who doesn't love a good fruit basket? But in the language of Amos's day, this vision is actually a wordplay that would have sounded ominous to the listeners who are listening. So the Hebrew word for summer fruit is kayetz, while the Hebrew word for end is kites. The prophet uses these two similar sounding words almost as a pun for the people. And it's to give them a warning. The summer fruit is the beginning of their end. Just as ripe fruit will eventually spoil and come to an end, the kingdom of Israel is now at its end. The time of judgment has arrived. And to be clear, the end imagined here is not the end of the world. God is saying it's the end of the kingdom of Israel. And it's the people's ignorance to the injustice happening around them that is leading to the kingdom's fall. After showing us the basket of fruit, Amos turns his attention to the ways people are being exploited. Listen to his words. He says, hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. Amos is now addressing the merchants and business owners who cannot wait for Sabbath to end so that they can get back to making money. He describes those who are rigging the scales that they are using, who are shortchanging their customers, who sell even the sweepings of the wheat, every last crumb, to make a profit. And he exposes the reality. He says people are being treated as objects because they are being bought and sold. Their lives are being devalued for the sake of someone else's gain. And this is not just ancient history, because this warning Amos gives them feels just as timely now. We see economic systems that benefit a few while leaving so many behind. We see wages that cannot keep up with the cost of living, communities that are being priced out of homes, families that are struggling to put food on their tables, while corporations' profits soar. And there is so much more. Right here in Lehigh Valley, the crisis is real and growing. According to Family Promise, one of our church's mission partners, over 500 households in our community are experiencing homelessness right now. More than 1,000 elementary-aged children in Lehigh County have identified as homeless this past year. There are families and children living among us, attending school, working jobs, trying to survive and keep hope alive through it all. And yet, so much of this suffering is also hidden from view. Many families carrying this heavy weight of stigma do all they can to hide these struggles. Some live out of their cars, some share crowded motel rooms. Others move from one relative's home to another, never letting on to the outside world just how unstable things have become. There's a deep reluctance to ask for help, often because they fear being judged or shamed. And somewhere along the way, we've allowed ourselves as a society to accept this suffering as normal. That is exactly what the late Walter Brueggemann, a prophetic voice in the Reformed tradition, who died just last month and whose memorial service was yesterday, spoke about so often. He insisted that God's call to compassion is a radical challenge. He wrote about it in his book, The Prophetic Imagination. He wrote, "Compassion constitutes a radical form of criticism. For it announces that the hurt is to be taken seriously, that the hurt is not to be accepted as normal and natural, but it is abnormal, an unacceptable condition of humanness." What Brueggemann means, true compassion refuses to accept another person's suffering as just the way things are. It interrupts our comfort and demands that we pay attention to the suffering. It tells us that a family living in their car or a child showing up to school without any sleep is not just simply unfortunate. It's unacceptable. We collectively, as God's beloved people, have failed to be there for that family. It's unacceptable for humanness. God's anger in Amos is not the anger of a tyrant, but the anger found in the grief of a parent who sees their children hurting each other and cannot look away from this hurt God's heart breaks. And then the consequences of this injustice go deeper still, reaching into the life of the entire community, as Amos describes in the next part of his prophecy. He proclaims, "The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." When we persist in ignoring the cries of the vulnerable, or when we allow rituals and routines to cover up injustice rather than confront it, we risk losing touch with God's voice altogether. We can fill our lives up with worship and praise, but if we turn a blind eye to the suffering that is happening in the world outside of this place, even our prayers begin to ring hollow. When a society decides the pain of its people doesn't matter, it loses more than its sense of justice. It loses its connection to God. But here's the good news. God sends prophets again and again and again, not to shame us, but to call us back. Amos's warning of summer fruit is an invitation to take hurt and suffering seriously, and to listen to God's voice, not just here in worship, but in the cries of those who are hurting. We come here to worship not just to receive comfort and inspiration, but so that our hearts are tuned to God's grace. Authentic worship always leads us outward. We are sent from this place to notice the systems that are unfair, to challenge practices that harm the vulnerable, to use our voices and resources so that others might flourish too. We are called to stand with those who are denied dignity, whether it's in the headlines across our country or the world, or even right here in Lehigh Valley. And all of this brings us back to the quote we started with, echoing Bonhoeffer's words one more time and pointing us to the true calling of the church. The church is only the church when it exists for others, not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell humans of every calling of what it means to live in Christ, to exist for others. Bonhoeffer believed this so greatly that he staked his life on it. The church, at its best, is not an institution for itself, but a community of people who are called to serve, to lift up, to advocate, and to love. We do this because God has called us and claimed us and shown us through prophets and through Jesus Christ himself that the heart of true faith is always for the sake of the neighbor. And that is what Amos was crying out for, that worship without justice is empty, and that ritual without compassion for the other always misses the mark. The basket of summer fruit is a sign that faith, which only looks good on the outside, but ignores those in need, cannot be the faith God has called us to have. The prophets insist, and our own community's reality reminds us, that real faith is measured by how aware we are of the suffering around us and how far we are willing to walk with someone through that suffering. We must remember what it means to be the church in the world that God so loves, to exist for others, to serve and not dominate, to build a community where compassion is not the exception, but the gift freely given. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.